The Absolute Philosopher is interested in being himself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. The Absolute Philosopher is interested in being himself. And the Absolute Philosopher asks himself all sorts of questions and comes up with all sorts of answers. Now, you think, just because we're saying absolute and we're talking isness and allness and that which is the creative cause of the world and the universe, that it's so vast, it's so impressive, that it can't be very interesting. Well, that's true. That's true. Only a few minds like to play the converted or convoluted experience of guessing and second-guessing and wondering and thinking about how creation took place and what happened to bring these things about. One of the greatest convoluted thinkers was the person who thought up the Big Bang Theory. He was a scientific science writer par excellence, and the whole scientific community got behind him and said, yes, yes, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, that's got probabilities and possibilities to it. And there, while there are some irrational aspects to it, it is like everything else. It has no beginning, no end. It has, nobody can contest it, because nobody can say that those things are not so, or even that they are so. But the creator of this wonderful theory came up with that theory because he was having fun. He was probably sitting at home in a Sunday afternoon, and his son and daughter were gathered around him, and his wife brought them a bowl of popcorn, and they sat in the living room of their home in front of the fireplace as the rainstorm was turning into a hailstorm and turning into a snowstorm outside. And it was a very inclement day, but this thinker thought, hey, what if? And then he began to expostulate to his children and his wife of his imaginative concept. Yeah, I've been thinking. Now, it's true, in the beginning there was nothing, and out of that nothing came everything. And was it an atom splitting up and an atom becoming everything out of the nothing? Or was it something else? Well, whatever it was exciting. Whatever it was revealing. Whatever it was amazing. And so, he said, now, just imagine. It's just like a story told about Alice in Wonderland, or the fairy tales by the Brothers Grimm, and all the wonderful things they talked about. Yes, wonderful things. So, his mind said, now look, if in the eons of time, this cataclysmic explosion took place, now where the atom came from, where the first atom came from, we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to say it appeared out of the nothingness, out of the consciousness of a creative cause that said, let's do this, let's have fun. And so then his family sit around spellbound as he says, now this atom, it was all alone, and it was looking around and seeing that there was nothing exciting going on. It was all empty, empty, empty. And he thought to himself, I think I'd like to have some friends around. I think I'd like to have some neighbors. I think I'd like to have a little action. And so, what does he do? He explodes himself. He takes himself and blows himself to smithereens. And he says, there we go. Now we got some action. Instead of me being one little tiny atom doing nothing but sitting here and gathering dust in the atmosphere of nothingness, I am now going to be a billion, zillion, trillion, million. Oh my, they've got some interesting terms for the trigabytes and the gigabytes and the many, many, many of items. I'm going to be that. And so his family sit there, and they're gobbling up the popcorn, and Mama runs out to the kitchen and throws a couple more in the microwave and brings them back before they even have a chance to realize she's gone. And then Pop's going on, and he's saying, "Now, as this happens, it's setting up an interesting pattern for itself. It's setting up an interesting direction for itself of how it's going to work out, how it's going to function, how it's going to be. And in the process, it does many beautiful things. Oh, yes, many beautiful things. It has all sorts of wonderful, colorful lights. The atom blows itself into bigger and bigger bodies that, as they spin around, they gather to themselves the infinite nothingness of the universe, which is the infinite allness, the substance of the universe. And they gather it around them. And they make that into the who they are, into what they are, and how they are. And they're just having a great old time, just having a wonderful time expressing themselves and being themselves. It's such a great experience for them. And they think, this is just too cool for words. And so they go on adding more and more things. Well, now, being a father and having children, he says to his children, what about this? If this atom is busting up, it's generating its children. It's generating its family. It's generating its mother and father and sister and brother and aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and all of the wonderful things that it is. And as it does this, it becomes greater and greater and greater. Yes, greater and greater and greater. And then it goes on to be something even more exciting, even more outstanding and more amazing. It just sort of blossoms forth into something utterly beautiful, into something utterly spectacular. And as it blossoms forth, it creates families. It creates suns, stars that gather around it, solar systems that gather around it. And, you know, all sorts of wonderful planets, all sorts of wonderful satellites, all sorts of wonderful spinning orbs. And then it thinks, hey, some of these suns are kind of old, and they need to refresh themselves. And so he creates the black hole in outer space, which is not one black hole, but many. Because there are billions and billions and billions of suns out there that are living out there billions and billions and billions of years, and they're dying, and they're then refreshing themselves and coming back. And it's sort of like a refreshment course. It's the eternal life syndrome, the eternal life concept. And the children are sitting there and say, Dad, is that really so? Can that really be that way? And Dad says, whatever we speak our word for, whatever we think is a possibility, is a very great possibility. There's no reason why it should not be so. And if there was a reason it should not be so, I wouldn't have thought about it. And the children listen, they say, Dad, you're wonderful. Dad, write this down. Dad, tell the world this. And Mother sits quietly back and she says, that could shake a few people up in the scientific community, you know. And Dad sits there and says, yeah, I know. I've had these thoughts in my mind now for quite a little while, and I haven't done anything with them because I've been just a little leery that the scientific community might get all shook up about this. And then he says, now, you know, I know how many billions of years old everything is. It's between 10 and 15 billion years old. Really, Dad? Wow. And this is what is happening as it is expanding and expanding. And you know, Einstein has done some talking about this in the past. And he said that there's an end to the expansion. It will come to a point where it stops expanding. And then when it stops expanding, then it'll start going back in on itself. But I don't believe that. I believe it's an eternally expanding thing that goes beyond its own lifespan of 15 billion years or zillion years or whatever it is, because There's no reason. You see, I believe that there is no corner in the universe. There is no end to the universe. That what we see has only begun. And the boy says, Dad, am I like that too? And the absolute philosopher, Daddy, he says, Son, you not only are like that, you are that. That is your nature. That is your reality. That is who you are, son. And the boy says, Dad, I like that. Can I become a scientist like you are? And the father says, Son, you already are a scientist like I am. You have a creative, investigative mind looking into all of the magic that goes on in the universe and your excitement on these things that I tell you about, which are sometimes kind of dry and dull. You, because you're interested in it, because it delights you, you sparkle into life and you think, wow, what a wonderful world. What wonderful magic takes place in this world. I have only begun to imagine it. And my boy, you have only begun to imagine it. Well, now the daughter speaks up and she says, Dad, you know, your analogy of a family is interesting. But a family, as we think of it in human terms, is kind of limited. A family can only generate that which is itself. And the father said, well, that's what the atom did. It only generated that which was itself. Yeah, Dad, but there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. It not only generates what it is itself, it is the allness generating that into everything. And the father says, yes, you're right there. That's exactly what it is. It is the allness generating its isness into the beingness that it is. But Dad, if I can think my thought and have my thought be expressed as a reality in my life, then everybody else can too. That's correct, Jenny. That's correct. And if I can think my thought and have it be, I can have the magical universe of my mind, and my friends can have the magical universe of their mind, however it may be that they form it. That's exactly correct. And if that's true, then there could be an infinite number of possibilities of how the world began, of how life came into being, of how these things happened. My sweetheart, you have a brain of a master. You think with such wisdom and such genius. I'm so proud of you. And the evening goes on. And this is but one of many evenings where they share together all of the magic of their life, all the magic of their thinking together, their living together, their being together. An absolute philosopher knows no limits in time or space. An absolute philosopher lets his mind or her mind, or lets their mind, just go and be and express and live and have such a glorious time in the process that they're excited about doing it because it's happening in their mind right now, and they're living it in their consciousness right now, and they are being the magical creative beings that they are right now, and nothing else matters. What a fabulous way to live. What a fabulous way to be, and what a fabulous life each one of us has as we open the door of our inner consciousness to the magic of our thinking, the magic of our living, the magic of now. Life is such a glorious adventure, and I enjoy every second of it in the now. Have a lovely evening, for the sun is beginning to set down. And it's dropping down behind the mountains, and it's settling into the Pacific Ocean, and beginning to say, when day is done and shadows fall, I think of you, I think of all the joy that we've ever known. When day is done and shadows fall, my heart is best of all, for I am living in the now. I love you. I love you. I love you.